WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
The age-old question, why would anyone open a show with the Canalysis theme song? Because tonight was all about the Canalysis. They made history tonight.
Well, one of them did anyway.
One of them made history. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG211. I'm Sir Rockin', that's Lindsay Ward.
We're here. We're live, and Maria Kanellis is your 24/7 champion as she made poor, poor Mike Kanellis lay down.
So what had happened was it was Drake Maverick and his wife Renee taking on R-Truth and Carmella in a mosh pit mixed tag team match for the WWE 24/7 championship, meaning it was a lumberjack match. You had people around ringside. And then once the bell ended, you could have, you know, everyone can fight for the title. Before the show, in the opening video package of the show, oh my god, that was great. Them putting over the WWE 24/7 as this most prestigious title.
It is the most actively defended title on any show.
It is very prestigious, but they got the legendary voiceover guy to do the voiceover, and it's like, they played it up as like a huge, huge deal, which was great. Oh, the tagline was the 24/7 championship, redefining greatness, you know?
Like you do.
It was perfect. So yeah, R-Truth and Carmella won the match. Then there was a mosh pit. Everyone dove on to R-Truth. Mike Kanellis came out of that and walked out as champion. We cut backstage. No.
He did not walk. He ran. He hauled out of there. That's what he did.
He hauled out there. He's at backstage running around. They're still chasing him. He's trying to get into the WWE officials' room. He's banging. He gets in there, and then Maria walks up, and she's knocking on the door, and she's trying to get in, and she's scared off the wrestlers because she's pregnant. She basically said, "You either open up this door, or I'm going to kick you in your vagina."
That's okay. That's not how any of that works, but all right.
It's a thing.
We'll go with it.
It's a thing. So then, later on, she made him get down on his back like he's used to, and she pinned him for the 1-2-3 to make history to become the first ever pregnant 24/7 champion.
I'm still not 100% sure I'm a fan of this. I mean, good for Maria for getting on TV and for them to have a part in the show because it's long overdue. Like, I'm not at all upset about that. I'm just not sure I'm crazy about this.
T- to me, it was great with her walking around. Anyone want to come and pin me? Who's going to beat up a pregnant woman? Right?
Like, that was good. Like, that was really good. I'm talking more about just the her basically owning Mike Kanellis' ass.
Oh,
part.
That
I'm like not 100% sure about it because it's like really kind of almost borderline abusive. Like, it's really walking that hard line, which, okay, but I just don't want, like, her being able to, like, do what she's doing to him for people to think that's okay, because that's not okay what she's doing to him on TV at all. Not that she's doing it in real life. I'm sure they have a very loving, warm relationship in real life, but nobody sees that. Everybody sees what they're seeing on TV, so... But, like, the rest of it was fine. It was just this part of it where it's like, I don't know how she treats him, if that's perfectly okay, but that's the whole point.
My favorite thing was like, yeah, I have an OBGYN appointment on Thursday if you want to come pin me and I'm in stirrups.
Normalized pregnancy, guys. We're normalizing pregnancy. That's a thing.
And then she wandered into Braun Strowman and she started yelling and he just started grunting. So that was funny.
I do like how they're like playing off the fact that men are completely uncomfortable with any female body function whatsoever.
Well,
I really do actually love that they are playing off of that and mm-hmm. kind of almost mocking it in a way like that. That's amazing to me because apparently pregnancies are scary, scary things to men. Don't know. And any female body function in that has to do with pregnancy is a very, very scary thing to men.
Well, you know, because it is kind of maybe, I don't know. Anyway, so that happened. We then had a 5-man gauntlet for the shot at the United States Championship. So it was Rey Mysterio versus Cesaro up first. They had a really good match. Rey Mysterio got the win. Afterwards, Sami Zayn came running in. He was the next opponent. He tried to get the quick win, but it got reversed on him, and he got taken out really quick by Rey Mysterio, which then led to Rey Mysterio versus Andrade. Good match. Andrade got the win and then ripped the mask off of Rey Mysterio. And then it came down to Ricochet and Andrade, with Ricochet picking up the win, and he is headed to SummerSlam to fight AJ Styles for the U.S. title. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of long wrestling, and guess what? The stupid commercial break rule's done. They were able to fight during a break. Hope everyone's happy. You just had to wait out the craziness. It's back to normal.
I will say that nobody should be able to complain about the fact that there was no wrestling on the show, because there was a crap ton of wrestling on the show. In fact, the whole first hour was wrestling.
Mm-hmm. That match was 32 plus minutes.
I don't want anybody complaining that, like, there was no wrestling on this show, because you got way more.
Speaking of wrestling on this show, it was a triple threat tag team match for the Raw tag team titles, The Revival versus The Usos versus the OC's Gallows and Anderson. Good, good matchup, and saw Gallows and Anderson walk out with the titles.
Okay, I'll take this.
You're boosting up the OC with some belts. There's a big celebration backstage. You know, it's good. They're giving them a push, which is what needs to happen.
I'm fine with this, especially with what happened with the celebration backstage.
That was fun.
That was amazing, and that was hilarious. And I love what they're doing with all three of them right now. Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, I needed this level of shenanigans in my life before, like, it all hits the fan and Undisputed Era, like, shows up.
By the way, it was Jimmy who took the pin. Huh.
Yeah, given the events of this past weekend, I'm not surprised. We're going to talk about that on Thursday, by the way. Not a lot. We kind of did talk about it, I guess, but maybe we need to talk about it more. I don't know.
We talked about it. We talked about it. It happened Thursday. We talked about it. Viking Raiders got a win. No shocker.
Go, our boys. Go.
Rack up them points. Street Profits were backstage. They were doing a little hype about everything. About the night they ran into Seth Rollins, they tried to do his catchphrase, and put a little some stank on it. And so they did a little thing together. You think Montez Ford is going to be a star once he breaks away from it?
He's just got something about him. He's got that swagger.
Yeah, I could say it. So we had a moment of bliss earlier in the evening, and they recapped all the events that had happened over the last week. Then they talked about they had some footage of a training session where, one, the camera is far back, so it's like they're not spotlighting the footage. It's just a prop, the hard camera just set up, and it's zoomed all the way out. Nice touch, Heyman. Becky, Natty was in the ring. She was working with Fit Finlay. trying to figure out how to get out of this armor into the sharpshooter. Becky showed up, kicked Finley, and then put Natty into this armor.
You know, I said it once, I'll say it again. When is Fick going to learn with Becky? Like, when is he going to learn? She's bit him so many times now. Like, come on. Just get out of her way. Just whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and you're going to get hurt in the process. So, you know, just step out of the way, and there you go. Just let it happen. But this was good. I like this. You know, aside from Fit getting kicked in his Finley, mm-hmm. you know, it was fine.
That was the thing. Becky then appeared on screen and said she would see Alexa later, which then takes us to the match. It was Alexa versus Becky Lynch. It ended via a rough stoppage when Alexa was injured. She was holding on to her ankle and crying and all that fun stuff. The trainer stopped the match. Then we got into a little shouting match between Nikki and Becky, leading to a match. We're not exactly sure what Nikki said to Becky.
There is speculation that a very dirty word got dropped, but due to Scottish accents, it could have been a much less, if not anything, dirty word. It's being said that she said cow, but with Scottish accents and all, it kind of came out a little different. It's another C word. If you don't know what I'm talking about, please don't look it up, especially if you're under 18. So, yeah.
I thought I was the only one who noticed it. And then I went on Twitter and everyone was like, did she just say the C word?
Yeah, it's like everybody caught that. Like everybody caught it. And did she say it on the mic or did the camera pick it up?
Because they had no mic. They were just yelling and the camera picked it up.
Yeah, see, that's the whole, that's what made this even better, is like she's yelling at Becky, and I think she may have like accidentally slipped one in there, because it's like, they don't have a microphone, so, you know, nobody's gonna hear her say it. Oops. Like, if she said it, I think it's fine. I don't think she's gonna get in trouble for it. I hope to God she doesn't get in trouble for it. People have said far worse in the history of Monday Night Raw than that.
Well, yeah. So... I think it was cow, not the word I thought.
But if she did slip it in, good for her.
Yeah, good for her if she did. I mean, that's fine. So there you go. It led to Becky versus Nikki. Nikki lost to the Bexploder for the 1-2-3. Afterwards, Alexa Bliss made a recovery. It was a 2-on-1 attack on Becky until Natty made the save. Then she put Becky in the sharpshooter. Natty backstage said she seemed like her friend. Kayla interviewed was in that. Natty said it seemed like her friendship has been permanently damaged. Natty said it's not about being friends, it's about being professional. She said Lynch won't make one to shake her hand if she beats her at SummerSlam, and she wouldn't shake Lynch's hand anyway because she doesn't trust her. Natty said she'd like to challenge Becky to a submission match, but she doubts the man would have the guts to do it. So she wasn't going to issue the challenge after all. So. It may be a submission match. It may not be a submission that match. Who knows?
There's a lot to unpack from this. I want to talk about Natty's promo first. You can tell that somebody has been working with her, and his name is Paul E.
Mm-hmm.
On these promos. Because Natty just... I love Natty. Okay, don't get me wrong. I love Natty, but you can tell she doesn't really have a mean bone in her body because she's always had a very hard time being mean and being a heel. Like, I think she enjoys it, but in terms of her personality and letting go and being a bad guy, she kind of struggles with it a little bit. So this was, you know, especially in the promo area, like she can do the actions and it's fine, but whenever she has to talk, it just doesn't come out right. At least to me. And so, like, you can tell tonight that somebody's been working with her on her promo skills. You could see a lot of coaching from Paul Heyman in this because she had it down even to the nuances of how he speaks, like the cadence of how he speaks. Like, you could just see it in the way that she was talking.
Mm-hmm.
It was that very deliberate way that Paul Heyman speaks. So it's good that he's working with her. It's good that he's coaching with her because it was a great promo. We have to go back to Alexa's acting job when she hurt, in quotations, her foot.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the best sells I've seen in a really long time.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, anybody that can cry on cue, I have a tremendous amount of respect for. Like, a tremendous amount of respect for. So the fact that she's, like, wailing and screaming and crying, and they get a doctor over there, and it's like, they call the match due to injury, and, you know, she's wailing about her foot, and then Nikki steps in, and Nikki and Becky had a great little match together. I wouldn't mind seeing more of that. That was, that whole thing was just great. It was just from start to finish, so well done. Loved it. Loved everything about it. This is how you get all four of these women in there, involved in the story and going. And it's just, yeah, no complaints about this.
So there you go. It was Seth Rollins taking on Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler came out to Shawn Michaels' music, mocking his entrance, and said, "You all bought it." And it's like, no. Not really.
No.
Not really. We kind of saw that one coming. He took another, called Shawn and Goldberg pathetic, so I'm still on my thing that he's going to be fighting Goldberg, at taking a spear from Goldberg here in the next few weeks, just calling it a hunch. Ziggler said, Rollins gets to see the real main event, the real headliner, the real show stealer. The catchphrase is the icon, the showstopper, the main event, the headliner. If you want to throw that in there. He never said show stealer. If you're going to try to pull off a Shawn, know the catchphrase. Thanks. Anyway, Rollins beat Dolph by disqualification when Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar came down to ringside, and Brock just started to beat on Seth Rollins. F5'd him into the ring post. Just threw him around. German suplexes, you name it. Then got a chair and just started waylaying on him over and over and over again. Paul Heyman had to get in the ring to pull him off, basically, to have him stop, as the EMTs came out and blood started coming from the mouth of Seth Rollins.
Which is a nice little touch. It's a good use of blood here. It wasn't over the top. It wasn't unbelievable. It was Brock Lesnar has brutalized Seth Rollins with a chair, and that's the appropriate response.
So we go backstage, and he's being loaded up on the stretcher, and he's being wheeled into the ambulance. You see Roman check on him. You see Becky was checking up on him. The Usos were there. Then Gallows and Anderson show up. They start attacking the Usos. Reigns attacks. They try to help. Samoa Joe attacks him. Reigns and the Usos got left laying. The cameras then showed Rollins in the ambulance. Then the ambulance stopped as Brock Lesnar came around, opened the door, rolled Rollins out, and pulled him out. Tipped over the stretcher and dropped him with an F5 onto the stretcher.
This was a wonderful backstage segment. I loved everything about this. It was chaos. It was insanity. It was perfect. You got everybody that you needed to get on TV in one segment, and it just exemplified the chaos that's kind of going on right now.
And then it continued. Samoa Joe came out for the Samoan Summit, which he basically canceled, and then called Roman out for the fight. Roman Reigns came out. They start fighting. Drew McIntyre comes out. He attacked Roman Reigns. They're all fighting. Cedric Alexander comes in and makes the save. He cleared out McIntyre. Then you had the Usos come out. You had Gallows and Anderson come out. They're all brawling around. They're just all fighting. Claymore kicks and everything and what have you. But somehow, Cedric Alexander ended up on top of the Raw set. Did a big dive off the top of the set onto everybody. Usos then super kicks Samoa Joe. Reigns spears Samoa Joe. As Roman Reigns, Cedric Alexander, and the Usos stood tall.
Cedric did something incredibly stupid. I'm very proud of him. And he's okay. Thank goodness. But yeah, so this was all really, really good. Love this.
So it was a wild, like, you had some, like, yeah, good wrestling throughout, right? Throughout the show, right? That's basically the general sense of the show. And then you close with two wild brawls back to back. You had Cass in the beginning with the 24/7 title, and you close with two brawls. This was a really well put together show. You promoted the big matches on for SummerSlam. You had Becky and Natty's promoted. You have AJ and Ricochet promoted. You have Brock and Seth Rollins promoted. It looks like we're gonna get Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe at SummerSlam. So it's like we're built into all the big matches. It's like we worked perfect. This was a well put together show, and you could see. There's more Heyman influence. Apparently this was the most influence Heyman's had on a show. And also the stupid rules are sort of backed away. It's like, we're getting back to what Monday Night Raw should be.
Yeah, what's nice is Heyman is, or I shouldn't say Heyman, but the creative team and Paul Heyman, because he's got to get credit. They're weaving all the stories together, and instead of having a bunch of disjointed, disconnected stories, you're having them all start to sort of intersect. You're having the talent interact with each other that aren't in each other's story, and you're sort of weaving this all together to tell one larger continuous story that just evolves with time. It's like the whole brawl to end the show with the Usos and Roman and Joe and Drew and all this stuff going on. That was all how that was done. And, you know, we saw it earlier in the show suit too. So it's like we're weaving everything together where you're not having these, where everything feels so disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting that connection back because you're getting multiple people, multiple stories out of one segment. You had Seth and Brock. You had Roman and Joe. You had, they had Becky and Seth technically, but I think they've backed way the hell off of that.
They're still connected, but they've pulled them apart.
Yeah, I think they kind of heard the outcry in that where it's like, look, they're really cute together, but their relationship is their relationship. And they're welcome to have it on TV as much or as little as they want. But I think ultimately what's best for them is that they're not together, because the issue with that is always is if they don't end up, you know, being together permanently for the rest of their lives kind of thing, it's going to get awkward really quick if you have an entire storyline built around these people that have now essentially broken up. So, which hopefully doesn't happen and they're very, very happy together. But you had that happen, getting back to the original point, which is you're getting multiple people in one segment. You're getting the biggest bang for your buck that you can out of that 2 to 5 minute segment. Whereas before you had a 2 to 5 minute promo segment and you had somebody doing an interview or you had two people interacting backstage and that was all you had. This feels better. This feels more natural. Like this is just this chaotic, crazy place to work and fights are breaking out everywhere and it's hard to control. And, you know, it's every time you turn around, something else is happening. And that's what you want for these shows is every time you turn around, something else is happening. And we have to go here and we have to do this and we have to see this. And oh my God, did you hear what happened to this person? Or did you see what happened to this person? It's that kind of environment. And that's the core of what Raw should be, is not just interviews, in-ring segments, and then occasional wrestling. It all has a point. It all has a purpose.
There's some true meaning of what was happening on the show. It wasn't just, hey, here's a match to have a match. They try to give every match a point. Just about the squash match doesn't count. That's just getting them on TV. But Becky versus...
But even that had a point because that shows who they are.
Oh, yeah. But they had a backstory for Becky and Alexa. They had a backstory for Seth and Dom. They, like, the U.S. title had a, you know, was a thing. And everything had a point. So that's what matters, and that's what counts, and that's what makes an effective TV show. And it was like, we got to a point for a while, everything was like, okay, so-and-so's in the ring, so you know, okay, so-and-so else is coming out. Like, it was simple, but it's like, when you have confusion and chaos, when it's like, you have all Cedric and Drew and Roman and Joe and everyone out there, it's like, you're intertwining everything, which is smart booking.
And what helps with that, too, is later on down the road when, say, Roman and Joe are done, you can move Joe onto, say, Cedric Alexander, or you can move Roman onto Drew McIntyre. Please, God, no. But I'm just saying, you know, you're building in that next natural feud, so that way when you go to it, it makes complete sense as to why, say, for example, Samoa Joe and Cedric Alexander are getting into it with each other is because they have X history due to this fight from a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, whatever.
Laying the groundwork.
Like, you're laying the groundwork for that next feud as opposed to just, oh, hey, they're fighting now, I guess, lol. So... I like that. I like that they're doing those little subtle storytelling touches where they're not over-explaining it. They're not under-explaining it. They're just sort of pushing that in and they're just like, okay, all right, here you go. Here's your groundwork. Here's potentially what could occur is Samoa Joe or Cedric Alexander or any combination therein in that whole chaotic fight that happened. I'm just using Joe and Cedric as an example because they're easy to use. So I like that. I like what they're doing with this. And you can tell that Heyman's influence is spread far and wide across the show. And if it continues like this, I think we're in for good things. I hope. And there was no Bray Wyatt on the show beyond promo packages and such, which is fine. Totally fine.
We'll probably see him tomorrow night on SmackDown Live. But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show Live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Speaking of tomorrow, you can check out a brand new episode of Rack Extra Reviews. Ms. and Mrs. will be available at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, right after the show ends. You can check out our review from last week and now available at RackRadioShow.com. The Rack will be live Thursday night. We got stuff to talk about on Thursday.
That's right. We got news, notes, NXT, SmackDown, all your favorites. It's The Rack Thursday night. It's 10 p.m. Eastern right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Plus Fortnite 10.
Yeah, that too. We're talking about Fortnite 10. And then we're doing Fortnite with friends after that. So, you know, tune in because that'll be fun. Can't wait. Very excited.
Things are changing. Oh, God. All right.
What happened? What happened?
Maverick, update. I told my wife that a pregnant woman was now the 24/7 champion. She said, oh, she's pregnant? Some women have all the luck.
Ouch! Damn!
Early tweet of the week candidate.
Well, I'm just saying y'all can fix that. There's a real easy way to take care of that.
They're having trouble consummating because of the championship. Anyway.
Just tackle him, woman. Tackle him and pin him and have your way with him. It's easy.
Saturday Night Midnight Edition is another edition of CB Radio. We're doing the Greater Than Great Debate on Summer Blockbusters from the 2000s. So check it all out. Saturday Night Midnight Edition. Go back and listen to the Game Boy Edition from this past Saturday. Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio should preview SummerSlam at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTR Live. You have Amazon Prime. Link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can help and support the network for free by doing that. Another way to support us. And if you're buying the Battle Pass in Fortnite, use creator code ROCKANDSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Anyway, go.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn Sward, LANSWARD.
This has been a Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for The Rack, and right back here for the Raw Post Show. Live across the airwaves, Aloha Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.